fish of the free are plunged in the crimson tide open for me. For sin and uncleanness exalting I stand and point to the print of the nails in his hand. Oh, sing of his mighty love, sing of his mighty love, sing of his mighty love, mighty to save.
Greetings, friends. This is J.C. Yoakum with Hymn Time. Since we began this program, we presented a mixture of the oldest, most stately hymns and the newer and lighter gospel songs. Today, we have all together the very old and sacred hymns. When he was 14 years old, Robert Robinson's widowed mother sent him to London to learn the barber trade. His tutor guardian was one Mr. Joseph Anderson, but the teenager cared little for the art, and when Anderson wasn't reprimanding him for acts of mischief, he was bawling him out for wasting his time at reading books. In 1754, Robert Robinson had served his 5-year stipulated apprenticeship, and Barber Anderson was relieved of his mischievous charge. Aware that he must earn his own livelihood, 19-year-old Robinson sought advice of a fortune teller. Mischievously encouraged to drunkenness by the youth, the gypsy gazed groggily into her crystal ball and came up with a bit of advice that set her fun-loving client to thinking. Said she, "Young man, you will live to see your grandchildren." Perhaps for the first time in his life, Robert Robinson realized that the time would eventually come when he must die. This realization and the thought that his grandchildren might regard his life as useless haunted him for months. Robert Robinson was obsessed with these thoughts when in December of 1754 he stopped at an open-air worship service to hear Evangelist George Whitefield warn his congregation of the wrath to come. His heart was deeply touched, and his life changed from that time, and 20-year-old Robert Robinson soberly determined to devote his life to the ministry. Armed only with his barbershop learning, Robert Robinson began preaching as a Methodist. He later changed to the Independents and then switched to the Baptist faith. Pastor of a small church at Cambridge, England, the self-styled minister became one of the empire's most forceful preachers. On June 9, 1790, when he was 54 years old, he went to Birmingham to fill the pulpit of the noted Dr. Priestley. The following morning, Priestley knocked at his guest's door. There was no answer. Robert Robinson had died in his sleep. Following the practice of ministers of his time, Robinson often wrote hymn poems for the conclusion of his sermons. He was only 23 years old when he wrote the much-loved hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," just 4 years after the drunken fortune teller had set him to thinking. Listen now to "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing."
Come Thou Fount. Praise the
Reginald Heber loved the quiet town of Hodnett. With his inherited wealth, his Oxford education, and his family background, the young Anglican minister could have lived in a London mansion. Instead, he built a mansion at Hodnett, preached at the little church there, and gave of his wealth to the poor. Heber was not strong. Perhaps that's the more reason he liked the relaxed life of the small town. His congregation, too, was small, and he had time to write articles for periodicals and hymns for his church. Heber complained to his friends about the psalm singing in his little church. Others were singing the songs of Wesley, Cowper, and Watts. But the Bishop of London said the time was not yet ripe for the singing of hymns in the established church. So Heber wrote his own hymns and used them on special occasions. He wanted to publish them in a book, but the bishop frowned on the idea. So Heber put his poems away in an old family trunk. In 1823, Heber was asked by his superiors to go to India, but he didn't want to leave Hodnett. Twice he declined. On the third request, he gave in, saying that a preacher is like a soldier. He must obey his superiors. He went to India and for 3 years tried to serve a vast territory. Long travels and strenuous work taxed his strength, and the air was so hot, he said, that it felt as though it blew in from a furnace. On April 3, 1826, at the age of 43, Heber went to preach at Trichinopoly. The crowd was so large that he had to stand on the mission steps and deliver his sermon in the hot sun. That afternoon, he took a cool bath, suffered a stroke, and died. Heber's widow found the roll of hymns in the trunk and had them published. Reginald Heber wrote 57 hymns, but considered the greatest is, "Holy, Holy, Holy." Words and music, it is one of the most majestic in any book. Mr. Heber wrote it for his humble little congregation at Hodnett. Let's enjoy this great hymn now. Holy, holy, holy.
Holy.
Dr. Isaac Watts was the grandson of a naval commander. Mr. Thomas Watts, who blew up his ship during the Dutch War in 1656 and perished on board of her. His father, Isaac Watts, Sr., maintained the family tradition in reference to this courage of conduct. He was a deacon in the Congregational Church at Southampton, England, and lived through the stormy days of nonconformity. His pastor had been ejected in 1662, had been allowed to preach again in 1672 by the Declaration of Indulgence, and on its recall in 1674, was exposed to more persecution than ever. Just at this time, July 17, 1674, was born Isaac Watts, the hymn writer. The pastor and his deacon were both shut into prison, and Watts's mother, with her infant son, often sat on the stone near the gate. In 1683, his father was again imprisoned for 6 months, and on his release was forced for safety reasons to live privately away from home. At a very early age, Isaac Watts struck out a path for himself. He helped to introduce the singing of hymns into the worship service and also to have done away with lining out the hymns. Besides living in an age of great controversy in the church, Watts suffered many physical infirmities. In spite of all this, he made a vast contribution to the church that has earned time-honored affection of Christians the world over. He sought as his associates the most zealous, the most spiritual-minded people of his day, such as Mr. Whitefield and Dr. Philip Doddridge. Despite genuine opposition of the real, unflinching kind, Dr. Isaac Watts enjoyed success in most of his ventures. Among his hymns, still widely sung in churches of all faiths, a favorite of many people is still, "When I Can Read My Title Clear."
When
Mr. Samuel Wesley and his wife Susanna had 19 children, 9 of whom they reared to maturity. The good Anglican minister of Epworth, England, marveled at his wife's seemingly inexhaustible patience. He also marveled at her methodical upbringing of her brood. Each of the Wesley children had his or her well-defined chores. Each was awakened by the clock. Each learned to talk by repeating the Lord's Prayer. Each was taught the alphabet on his fifth birthday, not a day earlier or a day later. And the first line the Wesley children learned to read was the first line of the Bible. One day in 1735, after John and Charles Wesley were grown men, they journeyed from London to Epworth to seek their mother's advice. General James Oglethorpe had invited them to go to the new colony of Georgia as missionaries to the settlers at Savannah. Returning from Georgia, Charles Wesley began a half century of hymn writing. John Wesley began his very zealous preaching crusade, but neither would have made the voyage that changed the course of religious history but for the counsel of their mother. For Susanna Wesley told them, "Had I 20 sons, I should rejoice that they were all so well employed, though I should never see them again." Nobody knows exactly how many hymns Charles Wesley wrote, but none can deny that he wrote a greater number of stately hymn poems than any other writer. It is generally estimated that his total output approximates 6,500. Today we have one of his hymns that has stood the test of time. Oh, how happy are they who their Savior obey. Truly, Charles Wesley must have led a happy life in striving to obey his Savior. The following hymn is his description of the happiness to be found in obeying the Savior. John Sinnick was born December 12, 1718, at Reading, Berkshire, of a family who, on his father's side, were followers of George Fox. His grandparents had been persecuted and imprisoned. He had strong taste in the direction of asceticism, and once subsisted for a time on a diet of acorns, leaves of trees, crab apples, and grass. John Sinnick's career was somewhat checkered by disagreements and doctrinal differences with his early associates. He was a reckless and impulsive lad, of warm feelings and headstrong character. Although he started out with Wesley, changed to Whitefield, and ended with the Moravians, His sincere and spiritual piety have always been acknowledged by everyone who has commented on his life. One true account of his being bitterly persecuted is as follows. I quote Mr. Sinek. We sang a hymn, and then the devil led on his servants. They began beating a drum, then made fires of gunpowder. At first, the poor flock was startled, but while God gave me power to speak encouragingly to them, they waxed bolder, and very few moved. The mob then fired guns over the people's heads and began to play a water machine upon us till we were wet through. They hit us with hogwash, grounds of beer barrels, and muddy water from a ditch. They also pelted us with eggs and stones, threw baskets of dust over us, and fired their guns so close to us that our faces were black with powder. But we remained praying. I think I never saw or felt so great a power of God as was there. End of quote. There is more to the story, but this suffices to prove that John Sinek possessed the Spirit of Christ in an eminent degree. Whatever may have been John Sinek's peculiarities, there can be no doubt of his genuine piety. In 1742, he wrote the beautiful hymn, Children of the Heavenly King. This hymn, dear to all Christians, has been sung to various tunes throughout the years. Today, we hear it sung in a minor key. Listen to John Sinek's Children of the Heavenly King. You have been listening to Hymn Time. Your narrator has been J.C. Yoakum. This program is edited, compiled, and originates in Cuthbert, Georgia. We invite you to tune in again next week at this same time. Until then, may God be with you.